sit back, put on your 3D glasses, then take off the 3D glasses, because none of this is in 3D, and enjoy.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Is this a marathon? These are heavy, these bags, honestly. I'm dying.
Weight training.
Literally.
Walking from Barney's up Rodale is always like a cardio.
My boob sweat at this moment in time, I have like a puddle forming right here that's literally separating.
It takes a lot of coordination and tact to be a shopper on Rodeo, and a power shopper at that, which we are.
I had a lot of the Cobb salad. It was delicious. Poured a lot of ranch on it, make it really unhealthy.
Oh, there it is.
Hey, you big hunk of wiener meat. I've got 40 hand towels, some energy bars, and a Chinese finger trap. Let's get gross.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Laurel.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah.
Roll another one.
All right, technically what we're doing right now is stolen.
Just like the other ones.
Stop that. He's my brother.
This one seems to be about quit.
Kevin was just trying to.
And I need another.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Hey, buddy, do you have any drugs?
Roll another one.
Ooh, why is my bed wet?
Just like the other one.
It's a trap.
This one seems to be about
spent. Killmonger was right.
And I don't have another cent.
Do we? Come on. No. No.
But the bogart that joint.
What?
Just pass it around.
Do it.
And the bogart that joint, my friend.
Amen to that. And now.
Yeah, I am kind of a well-known actress, after all. What is it you do?
I'm kind of the Prince of England.
Our feature presentation.
So dumb.
Kind of the Prince of England. Please. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBeecho. It's Friday, the 18th of May.
Should I be concerned by how many small things have gone wrong today and worry me to the point where I give up and just go back to bed?
No.
You ever have one of those days where it just seems like you got out on the wrong side of the bed and everything kind of falls apart?
Sure.
I mean, my tea bag broke, first of all, not a euphemism.
Oh.
So now...
Hold on. Go back to bed. I didn't realize it was that bad.
There can't be more. There can't be.
That's what I'm saying. Is any normal American, how do you come back from that?
You'd be crushed.
Right?
Right.
So now every mouthful is a little solid, is what I'm saying, when you're drinking your tea, because there's tea leaves. The tea leaves are my tea. You don't want that.
No.
I went to take my my medicine this morning, my regimen,
mm-hmm.
and somehow dropped or knocked over the bottle, went all over the floor, everywhere.
Oh, no.
Were you just crawling around on your hands and knees licking the floor?
I wasn't licking the floor.
I need some of my pills.
I was trying to find all of them because my fear is not knowing. My fear is not knowing how that medicine would affect my dogs if they were to find it on the floor later.
Okay.
Sure.
So you definitely don't just want to leave it laying around on the floor. And then my complimentary morning tweet that I offer up every morning.
You don't charge for it.
Nobody has to pay for that. That's free. I offered up. It's free with subscription.
Right.
And for whatever reason, it wouldn't let me upload the media there. And I thought the picture was too big or something. So I went and found another version of the picture that was definitely an appropriate size. Still wouldn't let me. And that was right as we were going on air. Here's what I'm saying. That's one, two, three things before we've even gone on the radio. And I'm just wondering. I don't want to drag the whole show down. You know what I mean? If I'm ruining everything, you know, let me know, and I'll step out.
I mean, I didn't know everything that you just mentioned, and it is devastating.
It is. It's a lot.
Yeah. We should all go to bed.
But well, I feel like you can make it.
Really? You think I can get past all that?
I feel like you can. If you could get past the teabag breaking.
That's frankly the worst of all of it. That's the most distasteful.
Right.
Come on, Kevin. You laugh as if it's enjoyable to have a big old mouthful of tea full of tea leaves.
No, here's what I would do is just make another cup.
Mm-hmm. That seems wasteful.
Well,
either eat the tea leaves or make another cup.
Well, I'm eating
it's
the tea
leaves. It's very simple.
No, I'm eating the tea leaves.
Right.
But don't do that.
You don't like it.
No.
Make another cup.
I'm not going to waste this whole cup of tea. I'm sticking with it.
It's a crappy cup of tea. Yeah. Waste. Throw it out.
Do you own a strainer?
I don't know.
Throw it out. It's a cup of tea.
You don't own a strainer?
Donna may have one somewhere.
What kind of animal are you?
Right?
In her kitchen? I don't think I have one in mine. So, I don't know. All right. Well, I'm going to
make another.
I'm going to try
this again. Throw out the tea that you hate. That you're not enjoying because there's a chunk in every bite, as you say.
Right. It's 90,
toss that.
Right. It's 95% a full cup of tea.
Right.
There's no way I'm throwing that out. Look.
It's a pretty easy solve, though, is all I'm saying.
Look, when the bread starts to get moldy, I still eat it. When the chocolate milk starts to turn, I still drink it.
All right, but then don't complain about it.
I'm just
make another cup of tea.
I'm just not going to waste it. You're not the boss of me.
It would be so much better if I was, wouldn't it?
All right, let me tell you about the thing, you guys.
What's the thing?
You probably have seen this story. Many of our listeners may not have, and they'll be fascinated. In the case of 17-year-old Rashawn Richardson. Allie, you saw this guy in Hillcrest High, Dallas, plays basketball for the school there?
I did not.
Well, I think you're going to enjoy the story very much about the man who enjoyed playing basketball so much, missed it so much, went as far as he could in college, and then couldn't stand not being competitive on a basketball court. So he changed his name, faked his identity, and re-enrolled in high school so he could be on the basketball team.
And destroy. That's awesome.
And did pretty well. Got 40 points in a quarter the other night. People were like, hey, this kid's good. Let's hear the story.
The new guard playing for the Hillcrest High basketball team in Dallas this past season turned a lot of heads. He would sometimes drop 30 or more points in a game. Turns out he really was a man among boys. Tony DeCopel has the score.
It was a year to remember for Rashawn Richardson, leading his basketball team to the playoffs this winter and earning the District Offensive Player of the Year award.
Why are you ahhing, Allie?
Here's the score.
He's got the score.
Yeah, well, you know how the news is.
Come on.
There was just one problem. Authorities say the supposedly 17-year-old Richardson was actually this man, 25-year-old Sidney Gilstrap Portley, looking for a second taste of athletic glory.
By the way, while you're hearing this report unfold, why don't you start getting your guesses together as to how he was discovered to not be a 17-year-old.
How he was discovered. Okay.
Christopher Bayer is the principal of Hillcrest High School in Dallas.
He fooled us. He did. And it's painful to even say that because it hurts in both ways.
Like why painful?
It's painful because of the kind of slap in the face feeling. Our office staff, our counselors, everybody reached out trying to find ways to help support this student with a really horrible story.
Gilstrap Portley allegedly told officials he was a refugee of Hurricane Harvey and homeless, too.
So that was a thing, by the way, if you remember the devastating storms that they had in Houston last year.
Yes.
Lots of people got displaced and went to other parts of Texas and other parts of the South. And I guess they kind of waived some of the background checks and ID requirements because he just shows up and says, I'm homeless. I lost everything. Maybe he even said, including my family in the, you know, the hurricane and the floods thereafter. Can you help me? So sure, they took him in, right?
Right.
Dallas School Superintendent Michael Inahosa says in those situations, the district temporarily waives ID requirements.
He didn't look out of place.
Not out of place at all.
But after 9 months in the Dallas school system.
All right. How did he get discovered, you guys? How did they find out that the 17-year-old Rashawn Richardson was actually 25-year-old Sidney Bouvier Gilstrap Portley, a man with too many names?
Does 9 months have any clues in it?
No.
Just okay. I was going to say he got someone pregnant and they did a blood test. Okay. No. I'm going to say it has to be someone recognized him social media wise. Like someone was like, hey, wait a minute. I graduated with that guy.
And he became a little bit too high profile at his new school, perhaps? Like, if he hadn't been playing basketball, he might have gotten away with it?
Yes, for sure.
One of Gilstrap Portley's former coaches tipped off authorities.
This was a thirst that he had, and he put everything at risk for himself and for us.
So a former coach was scouting the high school, a former college coach was scouting the high school looking for players and said, hey, wait a minute, that's Sydney from all those years ago. How is he on this team? So he alerted the school.
You said he played college, right?
Yes.
Who then wouldn't go back to freshman year in college? Who goes all the way back to high school?
Right.
That's weird.
Don't know unless maybe it was more difficult to fool the college admissions place.
Oh, that could be.
I don't know, but he had gone as far as he could. It doesn't say whether he graduated or just got to the point where he wasn't on the team or couldn't play anymore, but he just missed it too much.
To live this charade.
Gilstrap Portley last walked out of school here April 25th. Now, he has since been charged with tampering with government records, a charge we tried to reach him for comment on. Now, Jeff, if he had not been caught, it appears he would have been nearly 30 years old when he graduated from high school the second time.
And to answer your question, Allie, which was one of the first things that I thought of when the story unfolded, he did have a girlfriend in the school who was 14.
Oh,
no.
But both she and her parents say it was never a sexual relationship.
I hope
God
that's true.
For everybody involved.
Ugh.
And he also has a girlfriend and a child at home.
Wow.
So he was living a bunch of different lives. No word on whether he survived a teabag breaking in his teacup in the morning.
Well, that would have crushed him.
But he did have an awful lot to keep straight as he went to high school every day.
Wow. That's nuts.
Crazy story, right?
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach Show, shall we?
Don't let the old people decide your fate.
That's a good point, sir. It's Friday, so keep it 100. We've got the movie man on the program today talking about Deadpool.
Excellent.
We have comedian Kevin Nealon on the show today.
I love him so much.
We have Rob Liefeld on the show today. He's the guy that created Deadpool.
Oh, just Deadpool.
That's it.
Cable and all the rest of that universe, yeah.
Omar
a long-ass time ago, by the way. He's waited a long time for this moment.
Jersey Shore recap with Omar.
Was yesterday Jersey?
It was, yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah. Another royal wedding update.
Yeah.
And we've got your passes for the advanced IMAX screening of Solo, A Star Wars Story as well. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Hey, did we mention... I got a tea in my throat. Hang on.
What's happening with you?
It's the tea.
The tea's going to kill you.
It's right in my throat. Okay. Did we mention we're giving away some tickets for Cal Jam 18 at the Glen Helen Regional Park featuring Foo Fighters and more? That show is October 6th on sale now, and we're going to do it between 6 and 7 a.m.
How about that?
How about that? All you have to do is be caller 20 when you hear any song by Foo Fighters. So sometime in the next hour, you'll hear us play a Foo Fighter song. When we do, be caller 20, and you're going to the show. 5:54, Friday. Hey, Allie.
It's Friday, Bean.
Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, right.
It's Friday.
You're mispronouncing that.
I'm not going to start until you say it's Friday.
It is Friday.
Friday.
You are correct. It is Friday.
Friday.
Friday, Friday. Got to go down on Friday. You remember the song? Come on now.
Worth it. Okay. Okay, here's the thing. Kevin's going to EDC this weekend. We all know. He won't stop talking about it.
I didn't say anything.
Mostly we know because we keep asking him where he's going to be watching the royal wedding.
Oh,
what
right.
time are you getting up? No, I'm not going to be able to watch. I'm not going to be able to see it.
Are you dressing up? Do you have friends meeting you? Right.
What does your fascinator look like? And
what?
He's like, that's personal. Here's the thing, Kevin. Yeah. I know you've been worried.
I haven't.
About who is going to walk Meghan Markle down the aisle.
Don't care.
Because her father can't make it. He had a heart attack. He's still in the hospital. He's not going to be able to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So there was word that her mother would be the one to walk her down the aisle. We now know, Kevin.
Bobo.
It is not Bobo.
We know who's going to walk her down the aisle.
Yes. Okay. Ted Parrot Man. Ted Parrot Man is unavailable.
Charlie Manson.
He also very unavailable. Andy from Bravo. No, he would love it, though.
Yes, he would.
Jesus,
no.
Clayton Crawford.
No, he, although he has time now, not on Lethal Weapon. Biggie Smalls is the illest. Again, you're just naming dead people.
Mm. Blink-182!
The whole band walking her down the aisle.
That would be
You'd
awesome.
Watch. You would watch for that.
Definitely.
Absolutely. No. Here's the thing. She is going to do most of the walk unchaperoned. She will be by herself. What's going to happen then is she will be met at the west door by a member of clergy. Then in that part of the procession, she's going to walk with her bridesmaids and page boys, with the senior church figure walking behind her. And then when she reaches the part where the main royal guests are seated, she has asked a man to walk her the rest of the way. That man is her...
Vin Diesel!
No. Her soon-to-be... husband's father.
No, you're not crazy. It's Gnarls Barkley.
Is Gnarls Barkley.
Prince Charles?
Prince Charles will then
you know
walk
that was
her
forced on her. The rest you of know the it.
Apparently it was her idea.
It was forced on her.
She then asked and he is honored.
She doesn't have ideas that she's allowed to say out loud.
Right?
It's the
you know
queen.
She was like, I can do this myself. Right. I can walk the whole way. Yeah, but it's unprecedented, and it apparently is just, it's going to really unite the royal family and Meghan for him to be able to do this for
bitch.
Her. Again, no, not what we're saying.
Okay.
So, yeah, fun facts are already happening, and we're still 24 hours away from the wedding, Kevin.
That's what I'm saying.
Define fun.
Come on now.
You had fun just then.
Nope.
Nope. How about this? What if I told you that Michael Keaton was your commencement speaker?
That would be awesome.
You'd be down for that,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Love him.
So he was recently at Kent State University. Ton of inspirational words. But really, it was the end of his commencement address that everyone is talking about because it's amazing.
I've got one more thing to say, and they're only taking me a second. I've got two words that I want you all to remember. They're very important. And if I leave you with anything, I'm going to leave you with these.
He's going to leave you with these two words.
Right.
What do you think he will impart in these young, fresh minds? What will he say that will have them getting up from their seats thinking, that changed me?
He'll say, suck it!
Will he say, suck it? Let's go to the tape.
And those two words are?
Bean, any guesses?
I have to recuse myself. I'm sorry.
Oh. I'm Batman.
Ha ha! I'm Batman.
He ended a commencement speech with I'm Batman.
How many people in the world can say that? That's awesome.
Unbelievable.
About 15, maybe?
I'm Batman.
I think it was a hypothetical.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. And really, the best Batman, I think we can all agree, can we?
I'm an Adam West
man,
I'm sorry.
The right people can agree.
I gotta say, I liked Christian Bale better.
I do, too. I do, too.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah, I liked him.
Better than Michael Keaton?
I think so.
Yeah.
But look,
Chip.
Not to take...
I'll say Michael Keaton.
Thank you, Chip.
Not to take anything away from Michael Keaton's performance. He was fantastic. He was a great Batman at
right.
the time, but I liked Christian Bale's better.
I'm Batman.
Oh, I mean, right?
Very cool. Very cool.
Release the hounds.
Stop pointing. No one in the radio can see it.
Why'd I call
it are
the
hounds?
Some birthdays for you. Actor Chow Yun-Fat, actress Tina Fey, and singer Jack Johnson. At some point, can we please play the sound of that car, truck, whatever it was backing
truck.
Up in the middle of your broadcast?
It was not ideal.
Oh, it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening.
Got some great news, by the way. Our Kevin and Bean billboard is still up on the 405 South.
Shocking.
Got a note from Banana Rants who said, Dear Kevin and Bean, I saw your billboard on the 405 by the Porsche track this morning. The likenesses are uncanny. Well, she's right about that. So if you want to see it, it is still there. What exit is that by, Kevin? Down by StubHub, right?
Yes. I'm not positive.
Avalon.
Avalon, yeah. So get your picture taken while it lasts, because the other one they took away, the one over by USC, remember, they took away under cover of darkness.
As soon as they could, yeah.
So we never know how long they're going to last, but we are grateful that one still stands, our one and only billboard. Hey, you guys probably haven't heard about this, but there's a lady in England who is getting married tomorrow.
What?
And some people are finding it a big deal. Some people are going to extraordinary lengths. For instance, this American who is flying to England to sleep in the streets so that she hopes to get a glimpse of the participants in the royal wedding.
All right. All right.
Let's meet her.
Hold on one second. Let me just...
Ladies and gents, it's time for a royal wedding update, where we give you useless information that nobody should give a f*** about,
right?
But inexplicably do.
Right.
It's Kevin and Bean's Royal Wedding Update 2018.
All right, as this story unfolds, let's decide whether it's just a woman who is having harmless fun or if she should be locked up somewhere. All right, you be the judge.
We are almost here, just 2 days away from the wedding of the year.
Yes, a lot of fans around the world, but it may be hard to find a bigger fan of the royal family than a new Fairfield grandmother.
That's right. She is going to great lengths just to get a glimpse of the royal wedding.
News 8's Stephanie Simone spoke with her as she packed for her fairy tale trip.
New Fairfield, that's Connecticut, Allie?
Sure.
So is this English breakfast?
This is English breakfast, yes, my favorite.
Once upon a time.
You know, I'm just really excited about going over.
In a land not so far away.
And I have my tiara.
There lived a
Okay, she's wearing a tiara, by the way, in the piece, and also plans on wearing it on the street when she gets to the royal wedding. She's wearing a tiara. Is she confused as to who's getting married here and who the princess is?
Apparently so.
I mean, I guess people dress up in costume to, you know, there will be people dressed as Deadpool to go to the movie today. I mean, I guess
sure
you do that. You put on your Super Bowl jersey if your team's in. You know, I guess it's the same thing, but it just seems weird to me that she's wearing a tiara.
There lived a fair lady who fell in love with a prince and a duchess and a queen and, oh yeah, another prince.
By the way, I do want this reporter.
I hate her.
I want her deported. I really do.
Let's lock her up.
I want them to send her to the royal wedding and then just refuse her passport back into this country.
And, well, you get the idea.
An Anglophile, definitely. You know, I'm a very strong fan. They live in a world that, like, every little girl dreams of as she's growing up.
Donna Warner's obsession with the British monarchy is of royal proportions and began when she visited the United Kingdom at 17.
Well, I went to England just about every summer, and I just fell in love with, you know, the country, the people, the royals.
Does every little girl want to be a princess, Allie? Is that reason? That's fair.
No, I mean, it really isn't. I think it's easy to say, and it's just a throwaway. But no.
But has I mean?
I feel like it's probably a large amount due when they're little girls
because of the movies,
because they watch the movies and stuff. But they usually grow out of that. How old is she?
46.
46.
Get a life, lady.
Maybe I'm wrong about that. Actually, I think she's actually maybe even older than that.
Oh, good. Mm.
But I think they mention it later.
That affection has only grown stronger. In fact, the grandmother loves them so much that there could easily be more pictures and memorabilia of royalty in her new Fairfield home than of her own family.
All right. I am here to tell you there is 200 times more royal wedding and royal family stuff in her house than there is pictures
when
of her.
When you go over to grandma's house and you don't see a picture of yourself.
Oh, no.
She has.
Probably the kids are like, don't make us go to grandma's.
Right.
It looks like a gift shop is what it looks like. I am telling you, they have photos and newspaper articles and plaques and flags and banners and tea sets. I mean, it's she's practically a hoarder, and it's a little bit concerning.
Wow.
Like, I don't know. I don't think there's a surface you could set something else on that isn't already covered with royal wedding stuff.
She's even willing to camp under the stars to see them in person. That's how Warner snapped this picture of William and Kate when they got married, and this one of the Queen on her 90th birthday.
Yes, Kevin, she goes over for all the major royal family events. She's been to Prince Andrew's wedding, Prince William's wedding, the Queen's 90th, yes?
You said sleeping on the street. She can't get a hotel?
She probably can't right now, truth be told, I think that's part of her experience because she has a little pink fantasy tent that she takes with her. She thinks she's a princess, you guys.
Yeah.
Of course, my whole body doesn't fit in there. My legs will be hanging out.
And once again, she's packing up her pink castle.
That's a good look. That's a good look for grandma, by the way, right? Is she can't fit her whole body in the tent. She's laying on the sidewalk.
And once again, she's packing up her pink castle tent, complete with hand warmers and umbrella. For 4 nights, she plans to sleep outside of St. George's Chapel to catch the first glimpse of Prince Harry when he ties the knot with Meghan Markle.
Okay.
Four nights.
Isn't, hey, I'm going to get in early the morning of the wedding and see what I can see and then go to a hotel somewhere.
Is this so that she can guarantee her spot?
Yes.
Must be.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
She is lining up for Best Buy for the day after Thanksgiving. That's what she's doing.
I want to see what tiara she wears, Megan. I'm really, you know, curious.
She'll be.
By the way, big news for you, Donna. It's actually going to be on TV. You know, it's not the type of thing you can only see in person. And if you miss it, you'll never get that information.
You could probably see it a lot better, even.
I would say so, yes.
I'm really, you know, curious.
She'll be wearing her tiara and this T-shirt just in case Markle gets cold feet.
All right. Again, she's grandma from America.
Wait, what?
And her T-shirt says something like, Harry, I'm still available if you change your mind.
Oh,
sweetie. This is, no.
Oh.
Mm-mm.
Guys, I'm going to tell you the most shocking thing.
We haven't got to it yet?
No. The most shocking thing about this crazy royal wedding lady, and that is that she is married.
Of course she is.
I am stunned to find out that she is married.
But, I mean, they haven't been in the same house in like 12 years, right?
Wouldn't he have left her like the 30th time she went to England? Okay, let's see what he says about his insane wife.
She's nuts.
She's nuts.
She's nuts.
I didn't quite understand it.
But what her husband Mark has come to understand is marriage is all about give and take.
We've been married 44 years, so...
They've been married 44 years, so that means she has to be into her 60s then.
That's too much give and not enough... It's too much take and not enough give. How does it work?
I agree with what you're trying to say originally.
Thank you.
You learn to compromise.
Something the newlyweds will surely learn.
To Harry and Meghan.
Oh, to Harry and Meghan.
So that they will get their happily ever after.
Make it a toast.
Oh, wow.
We need her deported.
Agreed.
We need her husband deported.
Agreed.
We need the reporter reported.
And all of her cats, they need to be kicked out.
I didn't see any cats, but I'm sure she has them. And the string quartet, they can go straight to hell, too.
You go to hell, you son of a bitch.
That was Kevin and Bean's Royal Wedding Update 2018. You.
Hey, that was the Foo Fighters. Congratulations, Abraham Villa from Whittier. Just got two tickets to Cal Jam 18. Your tickets are coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I never thought Abraham would amount to anything, and he just proved me wrong.
Right?
Well done. Hey, DJ Omar Khan.
Good morning.
Yesterday was Thursday.
It was. And man, they are doing the Lord's work over there.
Are they?
I have to say, yes, because last night's episode, I haven't watched the MTV in maybe 8 years or so.
Right.
Do they always allow so much TNA?
Oh,
it is TNA-orific.
Really?
Oh, and I think I'm pretty sure
MTV.
I saw Ariola last night.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's
is
out of control.
Is she a meatball?
No. She was because last night they head back to the strip club.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
They know how to roll. I don't know. They found their way into my heart because they're at the strip club. Okay? And this is how the most annoying people in the world get ready for the strip club.
We're seeing like a lot of tonight. So exciting. We are going to a strip club, 11. There's just hot girls everywhere. It's such a good time. So I'm super excited to go back without pregnant woman.
You know what time it is? 11. No, that's wrong. That's
T-shirt job!
They're the worst. They are the worst.
Ruby!
How annoying are they?
Wow.
It's like a big train wreck, though. I love it so much.
Wow.
They're awfully excited about boobies.
And none more so than JWoww. JWoww loves the strippers, and she has fake boobs, but she's a booty lady.
Okay.
And she's like motorboating booty. She's slapping booty. There's booty over here, and she's in between booty. So the guys are having a blast with JWoww because they're kind of like living vicariously through her.
Mm-hmm.
And Snooki is just out of her mind. This is what Snooki's up to at the strip club.
It's literally raining money in the air. I'm like, oh my God. And I just go. I'm on my hands and knees, picking up the ones, throwing it in my purse, putting it in Mike's shirt. I'm like, here, you need this. Like, come on, let's get the money. I feel like I'm at the Oprah show. And she's like throwing money to the audience. And the audience freaks out. And I see money and I just go.
Wait, she thinks it's for her that she earned it?
Yes.
That's not how it works.
So people are like in a little balcony. They're making it rain. Because that's what you do at a strip club. And she's on her hands and knees getting all the money and putting it in her bag.
Are the strippers getting mad?
She finally realizes what she's doing.
I'm basically stealing strippers' money. And everyone's looking at me weird. I'm such an ass.
She's such an a-hole.
Wait a minute. Did she know before she was taking it?
No!
Oh, okay.
She was drunk. They're always... Just know this. they're always blasted out of their minds.
Okay, so that's a given in every scene.
In every scene throughout the entire season, they're always just blasted and out of control, which is amazing. I love it so much. So Paulie D is kind of in a point of his life where he has a kid and he has a baby's mama, but he's not married. He's not in love. So he wants a wifey. And Dina and Snooki make it their mission this season to find him a wife. And this is them trying to attract a girl for Paulie D.
Girls? Nicole, there's two hot girls coming. Where?
Grab them.
Are you girls single?
Are you single?
Not for us.
We're not lesbians. Are you single? You're single?
Oh, you are lesbians?
Oh.
Oh, well, maybe not.
That was misplayed.
Yeah. So it's like they're like cartoons. It's like you can't like write this stuff.
Right.
It's just every situation. Just they take it to 11.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The situation went to 11.
No. By the way, the situation is so the fatuation now. He's eating cake all the time and stuff. Yeah. It's out of control. So now in this, like, they went to the strip club. Now they go to the regular club. Okay.
Okay.
And they have stripper quality bottle service girls at this club.
Okay.
And Vinny, who has a girl at home, is just mesmerized by the booty again.
Oh, right now, I am a victim of evolution. A big fat booty is my weakness. So I'm definitely, you know, dying right now looking at big fat asses. You know what I mean? Like, I want to put my face on it. I want to put my drink on it.
Is booty a thing in Miami?
Yeah.
Is it out of control in Miami?
Yeah.
I got to go to Miami.
Yeah.
Vinny has a strange way of telling himself of going to the club without his girl. He has this weird thing, and I'll let him explain it to you.
When I'm out in a club without my girl, I usually like to talk to the bottle girls. It's usually they'll like be nice to you, but they don't like turn up with you. They're there to do a job. But these bottle girls are like turning up.
So he thinks it's okay to talk to a bottle service girl,
right?
But not just a regular patron of the club,
right?
Right.
How? What?
Maybe his rationale is they're paid to talk to you because they're working, so nothing will happen past that.
Okay.
Maybe.
So they end up turning up.
Yeah.
with Vinny, and he ends up getting two of the bottle service girls' number. Okay, and what does
he know this is going to be on TV?
He does. Okay.
You ask
turns
that
out.
Every
yes,
week.
He does. Okay, he does. Right. And of course, classic Vinny. This is turning into like a 50s comedy thing because like every episode is like the same. Oh,
right.
that wacky Vinny. And what does that wacky Vinny do when he gets home?
Oh, no.
He calls his girlfriend.
No. Oh, yes. I thought it was mine.
Full disclosure and whatever, because I don't think I did anything wrong. But last night, we're at the club and we're turning up with like the waitresses the whole night. So then she's like, yeah, take my number. And she put both girls' numbers in the phone, like the two waitresses that were hanging out as friends. And all my roommates were like, you got a girl's number last night. You got a girl's number last night. I got...
Because you did.
I did, but I got two girls' numbers at
but
the same
if
time.
If I got a guy's number, would you like it?
Oh, my God.
With your girlfriend at home, getting a number out doesn't look good for you.
It wasn't right. One. It was two.
what kind of Guido math is that?
It's,
great.
It's not personal.
Make it five. Are you going to call these girls?
No.
He lied.
Oh, no.
Why does he think two is better than one?
Because he's a moron. And I love it so much.
No. I didn't get a number. I got two.
This is real, guys. Did I mention that?
Wow. That's insane.
These are not actors. This is not scripted. This is real life.
Mm.
And Snooki encapsulates everything so succinctly on why I love this show.
No, we're disgusting human beings.
They're disgusting human beings.
There you go.
Thank you. See you next week.
It is 6:52.
Comic book royalty in the next room, by the way. Rob Liefeld is going to be joining us here in studio in a couple of minutes. He only created Deadpool and Domino and Cable, X-Force and all the rest. So big weekend for him as his favorite creature is back on the big screen. So we'll talk to Rob on the way. First, Allie, what's happening on this Friday morning?
Yeah, we've got Rob on the way. We had Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick in yesterday, the writers of Deadpool. It is all Deadpool all the time.
I'm all right with that.
And here's the thing. Deadpool 2 could make as much as, they're thinking, $150
million. Wow.
Pushing that little Infinity War out of first place.
I was going to ask if Infinity War might cut into some of Deadpool's money just because some people haven't seen it yet.
Right. And maybe a lot of people think Deadpool's going to be packed this weekend.
And will continue for a long time because it's going to be huge too.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I,
it's definitely going to... Deadpool, obviously, Deadpool 2 will come in number one. Infinity War will most likely come in number two.
Sure.
But with Deadpool 2 expected to take the weekend's box office chart, that would make it the ninth weekend out of 20 so far that a Marvel comic movie has been the number one film at the weekend box office. So not bad, Marvel. You're doing something right.
You guys don't think the Ruth Bader Ginsburg documentary might make number one?
Ooh, wow. It's going to be a scorcher out there at the box office.
I mean, it's very popular.
Yeah. Is it? It was. It
how
just
popular
made,
is it?
It just made the top 10 last
week. It has
week.
Made... it. First of all, it's a documentary about an 85-year-old woman. It
right.
has made over $1 million at the box office so far, which is pretty incredible these days.
Okay.
For a documentary. You know, documentaries almost never make that kind of money.
Right.
And that's after only its first couple of weeks.
Right.
So I'm just saying, look out, Deadpool.
Okay.
Just saying, RPG is coming for you.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Jordan Peele, like he's not busy enough, has just signed with Amazon to executive produce a series called The Hunt. The show would follow a band of Nazi hunters living in 1977 New York City. They discover that there's hundreds of high-ranking Nazi officials living amongst us, conspiring to create a Fourth Reich in the U.S. Okay. I mean, first of all, he's doing this, so he's got Nazis covered.
Right.
Then he's got sliced penises covered because he's doing the documentary series with Lorena Bobbitt.
Okay.
And then he's doing the reboot of Twilight Zone.
Okay.
And then he's moving over to HBO to do Lovecraft Country. I mean, what? Plus, he's got, I think, another movie in the works that they just did a, they showed the poster of it.
Right.
And we all want to know what the movie is, what
that's
it's
the one
about.
With Lupita Nyong'o, right?
Yes. I mean.
He's got a lot, he's spinning a lot of plates right now.
Jordan.
Right?
Seriously. Well done. Very impressive. Not sure if you saw this yesterday, but Arrow star Stephen Amell let the news drop. That woman will be showing up on the upcoming season of Arrow. He told the crowd of reporters at CW's network press event yesterday, there's going to be a big crossover event featuring Green Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, as well as Batwoman.
All right.
I don't know anything about Batwoman. I know Batgirl. Mm-hmm. Don't know anything about Batwoman.
Well, then you should be watching that big crossover on the CW.
On Arrow, right?
Yeah. Learn a little something. Supergirl will kick off the CW's new Sunday night programming in the fall, along with the network's new Charmed. That reboot will air directly afterwards.
Thank God we need more good TV on Sundays.
Seriously, what are people doing? Spread it out.
Right.
We are very busy on Sunday nights, you guys. It's too much. Well, X-Files star Gillian Anderson will star in Netflix's upcoming dramedy, Sex Education. What?
Go on.
She's going to play an uninhibited sex therapist whose socially awkward son sets up an underground sex therapy clinic at his high school.
Go on.
That just sounds awesome, right? You in?
Look.
I think you know Bean's in.
Yeah.
Look, I just love Jillian.
Absolutely.
Same. And she makes super interesting choices.
Absolutely. Yeah, she waits for stuff that really appeals to her, and apparently an uninhibited sex therapist does.
Look, the fact that she's hot plays no role in our love for her.
No,
oh, really?
Not at all.
Right.
Oh,
okay.
It's unrelated.
You just love her talent.
Yes.
That's lovely to hear. News broke yesterday that Steven Spielberg and Leonardo DiCaprio, who last worked together on 2002's Catch Me If You Can, are in talks to do a movie about U.S. Civil War general Ulysses S. Grant. Ulysses S. Grant. Here's the wow, Bean, how excited are you?
Well, I will tell you that he's one of my five favorite presidents.
Uh-huh.
I just read there have been two remarkable best-selling biographies of President Grant out in the last year or so. And I read one and I bought the other one. I haven't read that one yet. But he's a fascinating guy and a Civil War hero and a great president. And I think there's a lot to work with there.
He is obsessed with presidents,
yes,
by the way.
Absolutely. How much do you need from the second book.
But don't you know a lot of it?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. A lot of it is good. But you know what? They have they can have different sources and have talked to different people or whatnot, or have uncovered something that the other one didn't. And he's just such a fascinating guy. It's such a fascinating period in history that I think I will enjoy it.
Okay.
I'm not going to get right to it. I do have a couple of other books still stacked up
sure.
to first.
Other presidents.
But look, and by the way, even if you didn't know who Ulysses S. Grant is, if you hear Steven Spielberg's making a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, right. you figure it's probably going to be pretty good.
Yeah. Well, it's still in the early stages because Spielberg's a little busy. He's got the Indiana Jones movie. He's got West Side Story. However, Leonardo DiCaprio seems to be our go-to guy now for playing historical figures.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Exactly. So if he does Ulysses S. Grant, that's one. And then he's going to be playing Leonardo da Vinci and Teddy Roosevelt. What? In a film? What?
Yes.
And did he also play Howard Hughes in a movie, too?
Yes.
He did, yeah.
Look at him.
Right?
Well, kid from Growing Pains. Good right. Lord. The world, I tell you. It's right. crazy. It's nuts. What a world. Some birthdays for you. Actor Chow Yun-Fat, actress Tina Fey, and singer Jack Johnson, who I believe was caught up in a bit of a truck scenario trying to back up.
Yeah, we were doing a breakfast with Jack Johnson, and we were doing it at Coachella.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the Monday morning after Coachella.
Okay.
And they were cleaning up.
Right.
And the heavy truck that you're going to hear backing up, beep, beep, it was live. We couldn't get him to stop. There
right.
was nothing we could do about it.
We didn't do Jack any favors that morning.
But like we sent people over, like, can you just for the next 5 minutes while he performs, can
right?
you please just stop for 5 minutes?
It's Bubbly Toes.
Came back and they said, nope.
So
I guess
excellent.
They had a lot of trash to pick up after Coachella.
Apparently. and that's what's happening.
Allie, you said it best a few minutes ago. It's all about Deadpool right now, mm-hmm. just like it was a couple of years ago. Deadpool back on the big screen in theaters everywhere. Rob Liefeld is the creator of Deadpool. Rob, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm doing great. Doing great.
How many comic characters have you created in your long, illustrious, and well-storied career?
You know, it's probably several hundred, but for the X-Men and the Deadpool world, about 30, 35.
30 or 35?
Yeah, no, almost immediately. My first issue, when I took over and introduced Cable, there's like 15 characters alone in that book. I mean, we made an immediate sea change.
Wow.
One of them had to have a name so dumb that you came up with it out of desperation and have regretted it ever since.
You know, some of the dumbest names are the best. I wanted to do a guy with four arms because there was a Spider-Man story when I was a kid that he had four arms. So I created a guy called Forearm. F-O-R-E. Forearm. He's in the first issue. He fights Cable.
And I like it.
Hey, and then later on at my own company, I created a girl with the same thing called Foreplay. So, dude, you know, you gotta ride those dumb names, you know?
Exactly. Is Deadpool your favorite of your creations?
Oh, man, that's like asking me who's my favorite kid. But
I know.
We're going to ask that next.
This weekend? Yes. This weekend.
This weekend, yes.
I'm going to go with yes.
And which is your favorite kid?
Kids, are you listening? Olivia? Anyway.
You grew up in Anaheim, so you're a local boy.
Yes, yes, born and raised.
What's the earliest comic book you remember buying or reading?
Okay, so I believe it's Fantastic Four 147 or 148. It's got Prince Namor, the Submariner, coming out of the ocean to battle the Thing from Fantastic Four. It changed my life. It, like, literally, I was like, what is this? Because my dad was a Baptist minister, and they were very strict, and I could read Casper the Friendly Ghost and Richie Rich, and those were kind of like cutesy comics, but the barbershop mm-hmm. had the Marvel comics.
Oh.
And I was like, what is this? And Fred the Barber, rest in peace, Fred, you awesome dude. He said, look, man, if you want to trade me, I just need comics here for my customers. But if you want to bring me Caspers and Richie Riches and trade out my Marvels. And my dad's like, yeah, that's fine.
Really?
And, yeah, lifelong obsession.
You didn't have to hide it when you got home?
No.
Oh,
you know, there were some. My mom was very She kind of discriminated against some of the comics, but I did hide those under the washer and the dryer.
Like, oh no, that's a pretty good
yeah. You go
hiding place. Who's gonna look there?
Yeah, yeah. And why is this comic damp. Yeah.
So. Were your parents wondering, why is little Rob getting haircuts every few days? What's happening with
it.
Him?
That's it. No, I was going by and swinging by and seeing Fred a whole lot more. That's for sure. Yeah.
But so how old were you at that time?
So that would be seven, I think 7 years old.
Wow.
Okay. So yeah, no, it bit me early and often, and I became completely addicted. And where I grew up in Anaheim, on the corner of Magnolia and Broadway, there was a 7-Eleven, a liquor store, and a grocery store on three, and then a Pizza Hut. So that's the four corners. And
that's all you need, right?
Right.
Got everything right there. Why don't you still live there, Rob?
I've driven by there many times, and I tell my family all the time, if I could time travel like Cable, I would go back to 1976 and not see any of you and just hang out and read comics, because that was magic. But my mom was like, do not go into that liquor store. And I think I went into that liquor store every day. They had the best selection. Best selection.
So you fall in love, as we all did, with comic books or sports or whatever, or magic or whatever we fall in love with when we were 7, 8, 9 years old.
I just like to put out not magic.
Well, some people do. Some people
love magic.
That's their thing, Kevin. But I guess my question is, most of us continue the rest of our lives just being fans. Where was the transformation where you said it's not enough to read these things, I need to make these things?
You know, I learned I was drawing, and I could tell that I could draw better than my friends, because we all came out of Star Wars in 1977. And of course, I tell my kids all the time, you couldn't go online, you couldn't access some immediate picture on,
right.
You know, you had to draw it from your memory. And so we all sat around and drew Star Wars characters, and mine actually looked like the Star Wars characters, and theirs looked like brooms and, you know, whatever. Yeah. And then I said, okay, I can do this. And then I got obsessed with storytelling. And the great thing is there are conventions that started popping up. And you know, I got to tell you, my dad was totally supportive.
Is that right?
Yeah, I got on the train with me, went to San Diego for the very first San Diego Comic Con we went to in 1981, and
wow.
we stayed overnight at like a little Holiday Inn down the street. Aww. And so I could do two days there, and went around and met the people who created comics. So then you realize, okay, this is how it's done. But all through high school, I think from my freshman year through my senior year, all the art classes, I told my teachers, hey, I'm going to break into the comics field when I graduate, so I got to get this done. I'm going to use this time. And my favorite is several of my art teachers, there's no future in this, you know.
And yes.
I'm like, okay, you're just another hurdle I have to clear. Because I was going to do this. Here's the end of the story. I was not bright. My grades would reflect this.
You weren't interested in anything else.
It was comic books or bust. It was comic books or bust.
Did meeting those creators in those early years inform the way you handle fans that come up to you now and say, I want to be just like you, Rob Liefeld?
You know what? Yes, there were tremendously generous and kind comic book creators. And then more importantly, there were like guys who scared the crap out of you. Just mean sons of bitches. And I was like,
and that's the route you decided to go?
Yes. No, I really did like go, don't be that guy. I mean, I literally would like get within 3 feet of one of these creators and see how he was treating the fans. And I just walked away and was like, yeah, don't even go near that guy.
Who was that?
I'm not saying.
Okay.
What was the first comic you got published?
So, my first professional work was, you know, some handbook for Marvel Comics. Marvel has an entire team based on Sagittarius and what's that called?
The horoscopes?
Yeah, the Zodiac.
Zodiac.
Oh, sorry. I drew all the characters in the Zodiac, and that was my first part published work. Then I went on and did a series for DC Comics called Hawk and Dove, where they were going to completely change that dynamic and introduce a female character. Dove had traditionally been a man, the brother of this character named Hawk. And now they went in a different direction. So I co-created her with these two wonderful writers. And now Minka Kelly is portraying that Dove next year on Teen Titans for Warner's, which is awesome. This is a great year.
You just heard Minka Kelly.
I'm going to tell you. I turned 50 this year.
Okay.
And it's like the best year I've ever had, period, end of story. I'm like, I'm not sure I'll make it to 51, but 50
But even if you don't, you go, I had a good ride.
I tell my family, I just want you to know how happy I was. Life was so great. You kids, I loved you, and Deadpool's awesome, and there you go.
This is the voice of Rob Liefeld here on the Kevin Beecher, creator of Deadpool 2 in theaters ever. I know we have a million questions, so we have to take a break. But when we come back, I want to hear about the day you first drew Deadpool.
Absolutely.
You probably remember it, right?
Like it was yesterday.
We'll be right back on K-Rock. Rob Liefeld in studio with us here on the Kevin Abeen Show, creator of, among other things, Deadpool and Domino and Cable and so many other characters. You'll see in Deadpool 2 in theaters everywhere right now. Last night you had a screening with some fans. You're doing it again tonight in Buena Park, it looks like, Rob.
Yes, yes.
This good is karma. This is a good deal, right? Because they get, along with their ticket to Deadpool 2, they get a chance to meet you, and they also get a signed comic book?
They get an exclusive comic and an exclusive poster. And, I try and give great value to everybody who shows up. And look, they had such a good time last night, and I had such a good time because it was the first time I'd seen it with pure, just wall-to-wall fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's at the Kerkorian Theater in Buena Park.
Yes, yes.
On La Palma tonight, if you want to meet Rob and see the film, Deadpool 2. All right, we asked you before the break. So you created a lot of characters. Yeah. Your career got off to a start. You started getting published, started getting work. Tell me about the day you first drew Deadpool.
Yeah, Brea, California. I had my studio, and it was time to... they had given me the reins completely, writing and drawing the comic, and I needed a nemesis for Cable. Cable had blown up, changed the trajectory of the comic book. We had added 700,000 readers in sales in that about 14-month period. So I needed somebody formidable, and yet I wasn't intending to repeat Cable. Cable was this, you know, strong soldier from the future, gruff, very stoic. And so I wasn't going to give like a counter to that. I needed somebody who, you know, would counterbalance him. And when I went to Marvel and I said, hey, man, I want to do this character. I want to tie him into Wolverine's origin because, you know, they'd called Wolverine Weapon X, Roman numeral X. And I said, so let's get this straight. So there's 1 through 9 we have never seen.
Still out there.
Yeah. And so I said, can he be number 9? Like the guy that was they messed up before they were refining, you know, Wolverine. And again, because of the success of Cable, I was living the dream because they said yes to everything. Yeah, yeah, go with that. Yeah, okay, good, good.
They didn't care.
Yeah, I said, he's going to be red and black. And I said, he's going to be kind of like the Spider-Man I grew up with. Because the Spider-Man at the time, anybody reading comics at the time, Spider-Man had become very dark. Everyone was trying to Dark Knight. Frank Miller had made Batman so dark. So now everybody wanted to make Spider-Man dark. And he wasn't the fun, flippant character I grew up with. So I said, hey, I want this guy to be a wiseacre. I pitched him. He's Spider-Man with guns and swords. And they're like, yeah, go with that. That sounds good. And I can tie him into Wolverine's origin. And they're like, yeah, go with that. I'm like, the next no I hear will be the first no. But I'm like, they said yes. I'm going with it. I got it. Now, back then, no emails, guys.
Right, sure.
It was and kind lady, it was fax machine.
Oh, man.
That horrible paper. You are approved. I'm like, I have my waxy fax paper that gives me approval. But yeah, I put him on the page, and that page, that first page I ever drew Deadpool, sold for $57,000 one week ago today.
Wow.
On Heritage Auctions.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, wow. I remember selling that page for like $500. And the guy, I remember the minute it hit, it went to 30,000, and everyone's like, where's this going to go? And it's the first time I've ever gone onto a live auction to watch, because I'm like, I want to know where this is ending.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm like, man, that guy got a good return.
Why did you decide to sell it?
Back then, selling your artwork was part of your income. I mean, like my peer group, Jim Lee, Todd McFarlane, we were all on a flight coming back from a convention last year, and we were all joking because Todd says the same thing. Like, one of his covers went for $300,000 last year and in an auction, and he's like,
not to him, though.
No. Yeah, I mean, but he said, I remember selling that for $600. Remember when we'd be like, hey, Jim, hey, Todd, I got $600 for you. And then we all worked to get $650 or $700. But no, the comic book art, the market has just blown up crazy time. So yeah, but that page, it was awesome to watch the first. And look, Deadpool was also, that full facial mask is a time saver. I was really jealous. My two buddies drawing Spider-Man, they would go, ha ha, Rob, you're drawing that team book with 10 characters and you're measuring eyes and nose and facial hair. When you draw, I'm drawing two big ovals and an oval and calling it a day. And I'd be like, you asshats. I'm going to game set match you. So I was like, yeah. And so when I look at it, I see like also a competitive measure, like, yeah. I got a full face mask hero now too. So,
now, when did you write that the first one?
That's 1991. Okay. Yeah.
And at what point did it become evident that it was going to be a movie?
That, you know,
character.
The movie stuff was not in focus as yet, but when they so I think it was 2008 for Wolverine Origins, again, having tied him to Wolverine's origin in the comic,
right.
They cast him and brilliantly cast him as Ryan. And Wolverine Origins is best viewed turning it off right after Ryan Reynolds kind of finishes cutting the bullet in half and is in the past in the cool tank top. Because at that point, I took my family. I'm like, we're going to go see Deadpool kids. He's in the movie. And you're like, they're all little kids now. Uh-huh. At that point, you know, like 8, 7, 5. And I'm so excited. And Ryan's kicking ass. And he's funny. He's smart ass. He's, you know, brilliant physical action. And then you're like, at the end of the movie, you're like, what is this? You sewed his mouth shut? Like, the biggest, like, whoa, like I've ever seen. But then the very next day, Fox announced after Wolverine Origins opened that they were developing a full movie with Deadpool with Ryan as a producer and star. And a couple weeks later, the producers called me up and they said, Rob, we know that we got it wrong. We've heard the fans.
Okay.
And we want to start to get it right. And we had a great 2-hour jamming session where it was really, literally like, Rob, who should Deadpool love interest? Siren or Vanessa? I'm like, Vanessa. It was like a game show. I'd be like, that's the answer. That's the answer. Rob, should we have Cable in the Deadpool origin? I go, no. I Cable's going to be so mad at me. But if you're going to make a Deadpool movie, introduce Deadpool. Don't weigh him down with Cable his first outing. So it was just a fun act, but you could, man, that, you know, these Hollywood meetings, you're in a meeting with a producer and maybe the executive producer, and then there's 10 assistants and they're all scribbling on their yellow notepads.
Right.
But I'm like, let's get it right this time. Let's get it. The fans have such, when Deadpool hit, Marvel sent me a box that I thought was a washer or dryer for myself. Like, it was so big. I was like, oh, I'm getting a bonus gift.
Sweet.
It came and it was all mail. And they said, Rob, this is the biggest mail we've had on a new character. And that's why they said, can you put Deadpool in the very next issue? I said, I just mailed you the next issue. I can't. Like, it's coming tomorrow. So no, Deadpool has always had the favor of the fans. And so now, 2 movies in, it's such a thrill.
Tell me about the choice for Ryan Reynolds, because he's perfect.
He's who else but Ryan Reynolds, right? I mean,
nobody.
He is. And honestly, let me tell you something. I have watched him over the course of the last 6-7 years hone and refine his take on this character, and he owns it in a way that I'm not sure I've ever seen anybody own a character.
I agree.
I mean, it is nothing short of phenomenal. I'm going to tell you, he works tirelessly to deliver this vision to the fans. I mean, I've got friends who work on the movie. Stefan Kapachik, who plays Colossus, mm-hmm. would say, Rob, he gives me lines in middle of night, and movie is 4 weeks from now. And Steph would redo a new line because Ryan's like, we can do this better. We can do this better. And I saw that they actually printed that the other day. I'm like, okay, so now it's safe to talk about. They're talking about in the media because Ryan literally was refining, you know, lines, quips, jokes, right up to when, like, final edit.
We had the two guys that wrote.
Rhett and Paul are
Rhett
great.
And Paul were here. And,
they're brilliant.
We asked who came up with Fat Gandalf. Because that was one of my favorite things. And they said Ryan.
Yeah. No, it's shocking how much Ryan
It is, because we've had lots of Batmans and we've had lots of Supermans. Please don't ever let there be a different Deadpool.
Okay, let me tell you something right now. I said this to Ryan on the set of the second movie. I said, Ryan, have you realized? Okay, so let's take some of these guys who portray the Marvel characters. We see they have to get in the gym. They have to work out religiously. And then some of these guys, you know, they're dyeing their hair. They're trying to keep younger. And I said, Ryan, you can literally be Deadpool for the next 40 years because as Deadpool, you're a giant pizza face. You are a latex scarred burn victim.
But you don't want Fatpool.
No.
I mean, he's got to stay shape.
Let me tell you something. He's 6'4" and I think a genetic masterpiece that isn't going anywhere. But as far as like, he doesn't worry if he gets it, if he ages, you know, Ryan Reynolds can always, it's not like, this guy's getting long in the tooth and we've got to replace him.
Yeah.
No, Ryan is locked. He's locked. And
I love it.
I can't ever imagine him not being Deadpool.
Especially since we live in a world where if Spider-Man gets to be 19, they kick him out of the gig and hire somebody else.
Dude, three Spider-Mans in 15 years.
Exactly, yes.
What's up with that, right?
All right, Rob, before we have to say goodbye to you, let me hit your events again real quick, because we mentioned Buena Park tonight, Kikorian Theater, the pre-movie talk, and see Deadpool 2. And then you're doing something special for free tomorrow at Frankincense of the City of Industry. This sounds like a cool event, and you're going to be there with some other people, too.
Yes, yes. Louis Tan, who portrays Shatterstar, and he's on Into the Badlands, and he was in Iron Fist. He is fantastic. He is on the rise. He is going to be there at Deadpool Day with me, and Frankincense is an awesome, gigantic facility. It's like a Comic-Con every weekend. It's open every weekend. It's free to get in. We're celebrating Deadpool and X-Force tomorrow, Prince Comics. It's going to be just a blast.
And it says it doesn't say a time here, though. Frankincense of the City of Industry.
Yeah, 10 to 4. 10 to 4.
10 to 4. Fantastic. Hey, congratulations on all your tremendous success.
Thank you so much.
Super fun having you, and I hope we get to do it again sometime.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Thank you,
guys.
At the risk of a nerdgasm happening somewhere, I'm going to tell you that not only do we have more tickets for Solo: A Star Wars Story coming up at 8, but we're also going to throw in a Lego Star Wars Millennium Falcon Kessel Run playset. All right? A Millennium Falcon Lego along with the Star Wars tickets.
Here's what I'm going to say about that. It looks way better than it sounds when we say it.
I think it sounds incredible. The Falcon made out of Lego? Are you kidding me? So anyway, I'll tell you, I can win that coming up in minutes. First, though, is our friend Kevin Nealon back on the phone?
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin. I love this whole Lego thing.
Me too. I can't even believe it. It's very cool. Hey, are you hiking right now?
No, I'm not, but I'm about to.
You walk a lot of miles, Kevin.
It would seem that way, but you know what? It adds up. I do it a couple times a week, and I do, I was doing once a week for my hiking show when I, videotape it. And then I just like to hike anyway. There's canyons right by my house, so it's easy.
Have you ever been lost out on a hike?
Not around here.
Mm-hmm.
But in other places, I've been lost.
How lost in other places?
Well, I guess it's not lost if you eventually got your way back, right?
Right.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you're lost for 6 hours, it's one thing. If you're lost overnight, it's another.
Oh, no. I've never been lost overnight. I've been lost in cities before overnight, but not on a trail.
I went on a state land, a big park with a bunch of trails with my dog one time a couple of years ago, and it had a path. It has a path, a spider web type path all over the park. But it didn't have a lot of signage, didn't have a lot of arrows, so you kind of really had to pay attention or really remember where you were going and which direction, to head toward the water and whatnot. And we got lost, and I could not find my way out for a couple of hours, Kevin, and I ended up having to carry my dog because he was just exhausted, couldn't go on anymore. And it wasn't a situation where I thought like the sun was going to go down and it was going to get cold and I was going to have to,
eat an arm,
eat bugs or something like that.
Eat the dog, right?
But I will tell you, it's a little bit terrifying if you don't have an exit plan. And I wanted to check in, make sure you're keeping it safe out there.
That's so nice of you. Well, I think you should always bring your phone and GPS and hope there's reception. And and otherwise, rely on your dog to get your way back. You
could
easily have found your way back if you asked them.
Now, Kevin, you do the Hiking with Kevin thing. Have you had, and you've had a lot of great celebrities on, Conan O'Brien and Adam Sandler and Tiffany Haddish and Chelsea Handler and a whole bunch. Have you had people turn you down because it's hiking and they just don't want to hike?
Yes, yes. I've had people tell me that they're just not good on trails. Spade wanted to go, but I think he's concerned about the trail and also being able to get food along the way.
Right. How about Andy Richter? He seems like a fat ass. Would he hike with you?
Oh, yeah. No, Andy is he's very athletic. He's a strong guy. I've golfed with him before, and he's like one of those wrestler guys,
And may I stick up for Mr.
Like
Richter?
Right.
He is a solid little human being, and I will not let you disparage him.
Does he just have a chubby face then? Because I feel like he's a big dude. He's not?
He's not.
What's wrong with you? All steroids.
Steroids.
I did golf with Bobcat Goldthwait, and I got him a Starbucks coffee to drink along the trail, and we flatlined it. We just hiked on a flat area.
Nice.
That's so funny.
Hey, Kevin.
I try to size up my guests to see if they want to do a difficult hike or just a flatline thing, And like the other day, I hiked with Ray Romano, and I thought he'd be like a flatline guy, but he was a good hiker. I was out of breath.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You're always out of breath, by the way. It's fascinating.
Kevin Nealon is on the live, by the way. We love Kevin. We're always happy to remind you of when he's in town. He's playing at the Irvine Improv. Five shows this weekend. If you want to see the great Kevin Nealon on stage tonight, Saturday night, or Sunday night, tickets available now. Improv.com, only $25. Hey, I saw a tease.
Kevin, by the way, I am on the borderline of being a legend.
I'm sorry?
Oh. Are you?
I'm on the borderline of being a legend. That's how long I've been around.
I see. And when will you know when you cross that line?
I think probably in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
I'll be officially a legend.
Okay. Right.
Hey, speaking of legends, Kevin, I don't want to bring this conversation down, but I was so... Why are you laughing at me?
Because the only direction that can go is down.
Well, no, but I think Kevin will understand why I'm asking this question. You were so wonderful on, and as so were so many other wonderful comedians and actors on the Gary Shandling special that aired recently, that HBO Gary Shandling special. My God, what a beloved human being that was. What a great, great man he was.
He was a great man, and it was a great tribute that Judd Apatow put together for him, this documentary. It's called The Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling.
Yeah, and I just when I saw it was coming out, I thought, honestly, you know, Gandhi doesn't need 4 hours. Why do they put 4 hours for this comedian actor? But then when you see the impact that he made on comedy and on so many people who knew him and loved him, you realize that every minute of that was needed.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure he could have made it, you know, 20 hours and still make it interesting. But yeah, he had quite an impact on so many people. We used to play basketball at his house every Sunday, you know, just a lot of comedians and actors and writers, Adam McKay, you know, even I've seen like, you know, Brad Pitt up there playing and Jim Carrey and Tom Petty came up and watched once when I was smoking a cigarette on the side. And to sit, you know, to watch these people afterwards when we're sitting around and the game's on, or, you know, on TV and just sitting around recovering from the game, just people just almost sitting at his feet, like wanting, like, you know, asking advice and stuff. It's really pretty powerful.
And then he would kick him. And say,
yeah,
no.
And then he would kick him and do some kind of a juvenile joke.
It was just beautiful because you so often think, and, you know, he certainly had his demons. That was explored in the movie. But, you know, a lot of times we think about comedians as just being super competitive or super mean or super petty. And he figured out a way to kind of rise above so much of that. He was always... It seemed like he was always working so hard on making himself a better person and making the world a better place. And I don't know. I'm not trying to be corny here. I just found it super inspirational.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad you liked it. Yeah, he was totally selfless, especially near the end of his life. And, you know, he was the kind of guy you could tell anything, and you knew it would be a secret. He wouldn't gossip it around.
The opposite of us. Really,
I remember asking him once if he was seeing anybody because, you know, he was pretty private with his dating life.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the last week he was alive, we went to dinner, went to lunch in Malibu, and I said, "Gary, are you seeing anybody?" And he immediately thought I was talking about a therapist.
All right. Well, we're almost out of time. Kevin Nealon on the phone. By the way, Man with a Plan, congratulations, has been picked up for a third season. Season 2 finale airs this Monday night at 8:30 on CBS Channel 2. And Kevin Nealon live on stage and in person and being funny tonight, tomorrow night, Sunday night. Tickets only $25 at improv.com, 18 and up. Have a great weekend, Kevin. Have some happy hiking, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, man. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Solo, A Star Wars Story in IMAX, ahead of an opening everywhere else. We'll give you your tickets in 5 minutes from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. First, Friday morning, what's happening, Allie?
I just want to say, damn you, straight to hell, at MoreFan on Twitter. Because he sent me something yesterday that I can't figure out. I'm not sure I want to figure out. It makes Yanny and Laurel look like child's play. I don't care about it. It is insane. I sent the clip to Omar and said, can you pull this for what's happening tomorrow? And all I got back from Omar in all caps, I do not like this. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to listen to this clip and you are going to hear either the word brainstorm or the word green needle based on whichever one you're thinking about. So if you think brainstorm, you're going to hear brainstorm. And then 20 seconds later, you think green needle, you're going to hear Green Needle. It's all the same clip. So your brain is telling you what to hear. So think right now, which one are you going to hear? Why don't you choose Brainstorm, okay. Kevin? Well, and Bean, you choose Green Needle.
Okay.
Okay, so think about those words.
All right.
Okay.
Now the clip.
Absolutely says Green Needle.
Kevin?
Brainstorm, 100%.
Okay.
100%.
Now.
How does that happen?
Switch it up.
Okay.
You think okay. Green Needle. Bean, you think Brainstorm.
All right.
Okay.
Well, you changed it. Now it's Brainstorm.
We didn't change it. It's all the same clip. And it's just you think of.
But how?
I don't know.
Kevin, did you get Green Needle on that one?
I did. How? How?
What if you think Green Storm?
Oh, ooh, I don't know if that's a choice. But let's just, it should be on a loop, right? So let's just play it. It's not on a loop?
No.
Oh, okay.
But we can play it a couple times.
This has to work the same way as Yanni and Laurel, though. It just has to be higher frequencies, lower frequencies, right?
But you're telling your brain Brainstorm, so you hear Brainstorm. You're telling your brain Green Needle, so you hear Green Needle. Do it again.
All right, I'm doing Green Needle.
I'll do Brainstorm. That's way Brainstorm.
It's way green, green Needle.
Wow.
Isn't that nuts?
Why? I don't like it either.
What kind of black voodoo magic are you
That's
practicing?
That's what I'm saying. So it's making Yanni Laurel just, I mean, right?
Right. Who cares
Remember
about that?
Remember the Yanni Laurel times?
I do. That is nuts. We will retweet that from the Kevin and Bean, at Kevin That's and Bean.
Bizarre. I don't know that we need this.
I don't know if we need it either.
I love
it. What does it mean?
Because how would that work? That's so weird.
So our brain is basically, we're telling our brain to like something maybe?
That's,
or to hear
I
what we
know.
Wanna hear? I don't, oof.
Mm, this is the devil's work.
It really is. And I don't like this kind of sorcery, and I am not happy I brought it to everyone. So now everyone can be annoyed like
Nicely
me.
Done.
You're welcome. So the creator and face of Catfish has been accused of sexual misconduct. Neve Schulman, this is what has been alleged, that he was hitting on and making a former woman that appeared on the show extremely uncomfortable on multiple occasions. Production on the MTV show has been suspended. It's currently in its seventh season. The woman who made the claims, Aisha Morgan, appeared in an episode during Catfish's fourth season. She put videos out explaining in great detail what he did, what he said, how uncomfortable it made her. Neve has issued a statement to the Daily Beast. He said, "He's always been transparent about my life and would always take responsibility for my actions, but these claims are false."
I have to ask, did she know for sure that it was Neve?
See?
I see what you did. She was actually on the episode where they were in the same room.
Okay.
So he was not catfishing her.
Okay, but I had to check.
I see what you did. I respect it. And that's great.
I sense disappointment in your voice.
Not really. It's fine. If you're looking for a new home, Shaquille O'Neal has a pretty good deal for you. He's selling his 31,000 square foot home in beautiful Orlando, Florida. It's 12 bedrooms, 95 foot swimming pool, rock waterfall, hot tub, swim up bar, wine cellar, and of course, a custom basketball court. How much would you think a 31,000 square foot home in Orlando, Florida is going for?
I would say $5 million.
I'm going to say 12.
But it's Orlando. Mm. That's why I said 5.
That's why you'd lower it,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That's why I'm saying, Shaq, do you know how things work?
Uh-oh.
$28 million.
Wow.
What? Does he come with the house?
Right.
Does he play you one-on-one? Like, what happens? $28
million? Wow.
That's madness.
Yeah, because you have to live in Orlando.
That's what I'm saying.
Seems like a guy with his own basketball court on his property should have been better at free throws.
Agreed.
Wow.
Agreed.
Took a real turn.
I used to hate that. You're a professional. Shoot free throws.
Who was it that explained that it's because
it's
his arm size?
His arms and his hands are too big. All BS.
Yeah, good times.
It's the only... that 70-year-old, remember, who could hit like 80 in a row.
Right.
It's the only thing that an NBA player does that a kid can do.
Right.
And he was unable to do it. And that's unacceptable. And I love Shaq, and I'm a Lakers fan. But when they would foul him at the end of the game, it was embarrassing.
And that's why he was only a three-time NBA Finals MVP.
I mean, this turned into a real big Shaq sesh.
Brainstorm. Nope, Green Needle. I was wrong.
No, I heard Brainstorm because you said it.
Yes, come on, man. Some birthdays for you. Tina Fey, Jack Johnson, and Chow Yun-Fat. And that's what's happening.
All right, we have a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advance IMAX screening of Lucasfilm's Solo, A Star Wars Story at the Edwards Irvine Spectrum, May 22nd. Plus, the winner gets a Lego Star Wars Millennium Falcon Kessel Run playset.
Now, does it come already done, or you have to set up the Millennium Falcon?
That is unknown to
us
at this
time. Don't have the answer to that.
You set it up, lazy.
Oh,
okay. All right.
I think that would be half the fun of having the Millennium Falcon is putting it together.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody cares about a jigsaw puzzle that is handed to you when it's already made,
that's
right?
A good point. Yeah.
You want to put it together.
Agreed.
Great example.
All right.
Yeah.
Can we give him a hint about the game, or how do we...
Be familiar
with the movies, I guess?
Yeah, be familiar with the movies, especially if you're the type who likes to quote Star Wars movies.
Yes.
I think this would be a good game for you.
There you go. So call now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll play next.
All right, so you get the question right. You win tickets to the K-Rock Advance screening of Solo, A Star Wars Story at the Edwards Irvine Spectrum. May 22nd, the movie's out everywhere, May 25th.
Now we have five pairs, so if you get it right, you automatically win those tickets.
Boom, correct.
No drawing.
Then we'll do a drawing for the Lego Millennium Falcon. Now, we were talking about whether you'd want this to assemble yourself. I'll let you be the judge, Kevin. 1,414 pieces.
Wow.
Meaning, do you want to put it together?
Yeah. You do, right?
Yes, I think so. It's the whole idea behind Lego.
Including a two minifigure cockpit, spring-loaded shooters, a sensor dish, detachable escape craft, and more, including six minifigures, Han Solo, Chewbacca, Kira, Lando, Calrissian, K-Tulsite, and a Kessel Operations droid, plus a DDBD droid. So all of that in the Lego Star Wars Millennium Falcon set to one winner. Everybody else gets tickets to the movie ahead of it opening up in theaters. What's this game called, please?
It is called Finish the Line.
You want to see the movie? Finish the line, you win bigly. Come on now, it's easy. You can win for cheesy. Finish the line, and you win this time.
Okay, win the tickets.
Finish the line, and you win this time.
Just finish the line.
Finish the line, and you win this time.
Okay, here we go.
Finish the line, and you win this time.
Oh!
Allie, of course, you are our Star Wars hostess. How are we playing the game?
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you maybe a little bit of background, what movie, maybe set up the scene. Then we're going to play a clip. We're going to play it once. All you have to do is finish the line.
So what words come right after it stops?
Absolutely.
That's what we're looking for.
Easy, right?
All right, let's begin with Matt in Corona. Hi, Matt.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
You ready, Matt?
Matt, are you really a doctor?
Yeah, actually, I am.
I'm
a family practice doctor, but I actually met Dr. Mo Green.
Oh, yeah.
The guy you... Yeah, when I was pre-med many years ago.
No, I
did surgery with him.
I just feel like doctors should be too smart to be wasting any part of their brain cells on this show.
Amen. Doctors are Star Wars fans as well.
Okay,
well,
all right.
Like most drugs, you guys got to me when I was young.
All right, good luck, doctor.
All right, thanks. This quote is from The Empire Strikes Back. Luke was having some issues mastering the Force when he said he'd give it a try, but Jedi Master Yoda was having none of it and showed him by lifting the drowned X-Wing out of the swamp. Here's the clip.
Do or do not.
What
comes
next?
There is no try.
Yes!
There is no try.
There you go. Finish the line, and you win this time.
Nicely done. All right, hold on.
That's how it's done. See, you go to medical school, you can win tickets.
Right. Josh in Orange. Hi there.
Hey there.
All right, are you ready?
I am.
All right, Josh. In Star Wars A New Hope, Luke, disguised as this, enters Leia's detention cell.
Too short to be a stormtrooper.
Yeah.
For a stormtrooper.
I mean, it's for a stormtrooper.
Close enough.
Okay.
He certainly remembered the scene.
Take it easy, Bean. David in Whittier. Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
I'll tell you what's going on.
Finish the line, and you win this time.
All right, David. In New Hope, Vader taunts Obi-Wan, his Jedi teacher and former friend, just before he kills him.
I've been waiting for you, Obi-Wan. We meet again at last. The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner.
And then it goes.
And now I am the teacher.
I don't think.
No. Could he be something else besides the teacher, maybe?
We can't do that, Bean. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Now I am the master.
I am the master.
Master.
Yeah, sorry.
Should have gone to medical school.
All right. I'm not sure that was the thing. Let's go to Paul in Pasadena. Hi, Paul.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Paul. Big clue in this. It is quite possibly the most misquoted line in all of cinema. It's from The Empire Strikes Back.
If you only knew the power of the dark side, Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No.
I am your father?
There it is. Wouldn't have been quite as cool in the movie if he delivered it like that.
So passive.
I am your father.
Hey, Luke, I'm your dad.
Yeah. That whole dad thing, me.
All right, is that three winners so far?
That's three.
All right.
All right, let's go to Mike from Torrance. Hi, Mike.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hey, Mike. All right, this is from Empire Strikes Back. It's just your typical scene of Princess Leia and Han Solo hate flirting.
Why, you stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking...
Nerf herder.
Sure it is.
Yes. Nerf herder.
Finish the line, and you win this time.
Pretty sweet. All right, we have one more pair to give away. Let's go to Jeff in Huntington Beach. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
Hey, Jeff. In Star Wars, Obi-Wan tells Luke this about Mos Eisley.
Mos Eisley Spaceport. You will never find a more wretched hive.
Ooh. The wretched Isle of the Dark Side? I don't know.
Wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Scum and villainy.
All right. Do we have another one?
We do.
Okay. Let's go to Michael. Good morning, Michael. Are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes,
hey,
yes,
Michael.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, good morning.
All right. In The Empire Strikes Back, this is Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader.
Impressive. Most impressive. Obi-Wan has taught you well. You have controlled your fear. Now, release your anger.
Release your hatred.
I mean, you're in the ballpark.
You're just outside the ballpark.
You're ballpark adjacent.
Green Needle?
I wish we could give it to you for being funny, but this is it.
Only your hatred can destroy me.
Right. All right. One more contestant, and then we'll draw for the Millennium Falcon Lego set.
Tony in Ontario. Hi.
What up, party people?
All right, Tony, I'm going to hurt you if you don't get this. In The Empire Strikes Back, Han is about to be encased in carbonite and sent to Jabba the Hutt. And Princess Leia is finally able to tell him that she loves him.
I love you.
I know.
There it is.
I know.
There it is.
Finish the line, and you win this time.
All right, congratulations. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Matt. Where are our ladies at, by the way? You're all going to see Solo, A Star Wars Story at the Edwards Irvine Spectrum May 22nd. It's in theaters May 25th. But one of you also wins the Lego Millennium Falcon Kessel Run set. Who's that going to be, you guys?
Our winner is Dr. Matt, line one.
Yay! Dr. Matt.
Congratulations, Matt.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome, and thanks for playing the game.
Finish the line, and you win this time.
Start thinking about what song you want to hear. Kick off your weekend as we keep it 100. We'll open up the text line in about 15 minutes or so to play any song you want that you've ever heard on K-Rock. All right, before we go to the movie man, Russ Leatherman on the phone here, mm-hmm. Kevin. You won't listen to me.
Right.
What if Russ tells you the Ruth Bader Ginsburg documentary is a better deal this weekend than Deadpool 2? Then will you go?
No.
But what if it's awesome?
I don't care how many.
What if he's seen them both?
I
and
don't
he'll,
care.
He'll tell you there's more bang for your buck in the Supreme Court Justice documentary movie.
I pay zero attention to critics.
I guess that'd be the only way to be you, I guess.
True.
Russ, tell Kevin the RBG movie's the way to go.
First of all, thanks, Kevin.
I mean, we've disagreed before. You know, I go to a movie if it looks good. That's it.
Yeah, and Bean, I wouldn't tell him anything like what you're trying to describe right now.
Right?
Oh, really? Okay. All right.
No,
wasted
no
my
one's
time.
Gonna say that.
Wasted my time.
Not even you.
Well, listen.
Not even me.
Okay. I know
by
we're
the way,
gonna...
I may not even be able to continue with my day because I'm all effed up right now.
Why?
Because of that brainstorm Green Needle thing.
Oh, I'm sorry, Russ.
It's troubling. It's very troubling,
it's
isn't
nuts.
It?
Yeah.
Why does that happen? Should we do it again?
Do it. It's
all right.
Nuts.
Okay. What are the words?
You're either going to hear brainstorm or green needle, depending on which word you're thinking about right now.
Okay.
Green needle.
Brainstorm, 100%.
Green needle. It's crazy.
Russ?
It's just, it's way bigger than the Yanni Laurel.
Agreed. Right? Agreed. Yeah.
That was nothing.
And when Allie
was nothing. One of those things, I'm sorry, but I am all effed up about this. When you're, say, arguing with your wife or something,
mm-hmm.
and you're saying something and you're just not hearing what each other is saying.
Right.
Right.
You literally might be hearing something else.
Yes.
It does call everything we thought we knew about human communication into question. You're absolutely right. But look, we have to move on. We have to try to finish the segment and the show, Russ.
Oh, okay, no problem.
Okay. Listen, we're going to get to Deadpool 2, but I have to ask, Book Club looks terrible to me, but it has 4 Academy Award winners in it and a couple more who were nominated. That's a tremendous talent pool.
Bean, first of all, what's wrong with you?
What I said that didn't look good to me.
Do we have that kind of time?
What's wrong with you?
But how are there this many accomplished, talented actors in a movie that looks as bad as Book Club?
Well, first of all, there's only one movie that can take out the Avengers this weekend, and it's Book Club.
It's not Book Club. I think
it
that's
is.
What you meant.
You know what? You got Diane. Bean's on to something. You got Diane Keaton, Jane Fonda, Candace Bergen, Mary Steenburgen. Here, see, you got these ladies who have a book club. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. How crazy.
Allie, help me with this. Is it older ladies, mature ladies?
Mature ladies. You can say older. I think that all 4 of them would say, yeah, we're older.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, cool. So they got this book club.
Uh-huh. I'm out.
And one of them decides to introduce 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
That's crazy.
So now you got a bunch of horned up lady geezers.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't need to see Diane Keaton getting all hot and bothered,
Listen,
though.
Listen, this movie is not for you, Bean.
Okay.
How about you, Allie? You like horned up lady geezers?
For years I've been saying that. Here's the thing. I love
Richard Dreyfuss.
Grace and Frankie. That show shouldn't probably be for me. It's Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. It's mm-hmm. older women. It is one of the best shows on Netflix. So I could see seeing this movie not probably being quite the demographic, but loving it.
Okay, so maybe
well,
for somebody.
They say the older you get, the more you relate to stuff.
Sure.
Okay. All right, so that's for somebody, but maybe not
such
us.
A dick.
And Deadpool 2 is for everyone.
On the internet,
Alex. Damn. Deadpool 2 is for virtually everyone else, right, Russ?
Deadpool 2 is I don't want to give it all away. First of all, second most successful R-rated movie of all time.
Right.
You guys probably know. Do you know what the first most successful R-rated movie is?
I thought Deadpool.
I don't. I thought it was Deadpool also.
I thought it was Deadpool.
It's Passion of the Christ.
Stop it.
Wow.
No, really?
Okay. Wow.
Unless I'm completely wrong.
It's very possible you're wrong.
Yeah. Oh, I saw a different Passion of the Christ. Sorry.
What?
Okay, so this is the sequel to 2016 smash hit. You've got the horribly foul-mouthed mercenary Wade Wilson, a.k.a. Deadpool. He forms a supergroup called X-Force. Got to save this mutant kid from a time-traveling soldier. Ryan Reynolds, Josh Brolin. Here's a clip.
Move or die.
Pump the hate brakes, Thanos. I ain't letting Cable get to him. But I can't do this alone. We need backup.
We're going to form a super duper group.
It's time to get back on LinkedIn.
You're no hero. You're just a clown dressed up as a sex toy.
So dark. You sure you're not from the DC universe?
Come on.
There's a laugh every 2 seconds in that trailer,
right?
Well, let's find out. Here is your 6 second review.
The Movie Man 6 second review starts now.
Violent, snarky, fun, and still fresh. Deadpool 2 gives other superhero movies a swift kick in the nuts. I'm in.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Swift kick in the nuts.
Kevin, you remember how Avengers? We disagreed a little bit.
Yes.
In that I said that super long.
Yes.
Right? Almost 3 hours long.
It was super long.
Some of the CGI, a little bit. They threw everything in but the kitchen sink.
Right. But I still loved it.
But you still loved it.
Yes.
But you're Kevin.
Correct. Right. You have to take that into account.
Never, ever forget that.
That's correct.
Okay. This movie cures all of that.
Is that right?
This movie is, it's R-rated, so it gets to be R-rated. It makes fun of all of the convention that generally comes along with superhero movies, because my argument is superhero movies, a lot of them, same, right?
Like, right,
sort of the same
very much
stuff
so.
Over and over again. This one just kicks them right in the teeth.
I love it.
Love Ryan Reynolds. I love the action. I thought it was well done. They do throw a million things against the wall, right? And I'd say about 75% of them hit.
That's a huge percentage.
It is. It is. It clocks in at a reasonable, I think, hour 40 minutes. If you remember, I said for Avengers, it was like, hey, we got to stay for the credits. And I'm like, nah, we got to go. This one, you got to stay. You gotta stay. So he's the anti-superhero. It's everything that you want it to be. I enjoyed it. The only bone I may have to pick.
Before you pick a bone, can I just say, is it possible that we agree on something?
I feel like it is.
I feel like so. Deadpool has brought you two together.
A little bit. That and that crazy green thing that I'm just so effed up about.
Yeah.
The only bone that I have to pick, Kevin, is you do feel like they are part of the other thing I had with the Avengers is it's all part of the Disney machine,
right?
Like they're just churning them out, they're just setting you up for the next one. This one has a little bit of that, right? A little bit, because they are setting up the next X-Force movie,
right?
And you do feel like just be Deadpool for now, and we'll move on to X-Force, right? Does that make sense?
Yes, but I feel like that won't bother me.
Yeah, that's a small complaint on an otherwise excellent movie, it sounds
no,
like.
No, I think that's true. And it's going to be huge this weekend. I say $138.5 million domestically.
Pretty specific. Okay.
Okay. All right, we'll make a note of that.
So I liked it. I liked it a lot. Definitely worth checking out. And stay. Did you just try to hang up on me?
I don't know what happened. Weird. Something happened to the line, but stay after the credits, you said.
Stay after the credits. That's about all I have.
Okay. Russ Leatherman is the Movie Man on Twitter at 6. That's the number 6 Second Reviews, and the website is 6secondreviews.com. Thanks, Russ. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again.
You too, guys.
It is 8:53.
All right. Is now the time where we do the thing?
It is. Let's do the thing.
Text us right now at 1-800-520-1067. Any song you've ever heard on K-Rock that you want to hear again, now's your opportunity. You get to be the music director. If we've still got it, we'll play it for you. We've had some outstanding choices in recent weeks like these.
You finally left on
time. You're okay. Rock, rock, and
beat.
Keep it 100.
Oh, how fun was it to play that Outkast song
yes,
last week?
That was pretty strong.
All right, what do you have in mind? Text us now, 1-800-520-1067. Your song coming up after the top of the hour. First, Allie's got a Fri-yay. What's happening?
It's Friday, Allie. What's going on?
Thanks, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have heard me talking about this movie for over a year. Because it's puppets, it's murders,
mm-hmm.
it's Melissa McCarthy.
Yes.
I could love nothing more. That's like my trifecta of awesome, right?
So you tweeted the trailer?
I actually just did.
Oh, you did.
Here's the thing, though. I warn people, it is very not safe for work.
Right.
You're thinking, puppets, murder, Melissa McCarthy, how could it be not safe for work? It is very not safe for work.
Is that a thing?
And wow, oh my God.
Yes, it looks hilarious.
Hurry up. The Happy Time Murders. You guys, this is insane. If any of you out there have ever gone to see when Henson does, they did a show called Puppet Up. And it's essentially the puppets doing really dirty improv. And it's one of the funniest things I have ever seen in my life. This makes Puppet Up seem like the most G-rated thing you could ever watch. So if you want to go to at Allie McKay on Twitter, I have posted a link to wow.
Maybe don't watch it at work.
Don't watch it at work.
Maybe.
Really. And stay for the end.
But you will laugh.
It's disturbing. That's all I'm saying. You guys, Michael Keaton, that's a great commencement speaker, right?
Right, sure.
He's been through a lot. He probably has a wealth of knowledge that he can share. My commencement speaker, Bill Cosby.
Oh, wow.
Back then, pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think he'd do it.
Not as.
Yeah. But Michael Keaton.
But he'd buy you a drink?
Being
too soon?
Yeah.
Too soon. Michael Keaton was speaking to the graduates of Kent State University. Inspirational words, really just getting in there, giving them some great advice. But here's how he ended it.
I've got one more thing to say, and it'll only take me a second. I've got two words that I want you all to remember. They're very important. And if I leave you with anything, I'm going to leave you with these two words. And those two words are... I'm Batman.
All right.
So weird.
All right, you win.
So amazing.
I feel like I'm so Batman.
Much. You're not.
Wow, Muggs, really? When did he say that? And in what?
Who knows?
I feel like I'm Batman.
Who has any idea?
God bless him. And Mac Miller, not doing real good. Had that breakup with Ariana Grande. And last night, he was popped for a DUI in the San Fernando Valley. And not just pulled over, he allegedly hit a power pole with his Mercedes G-Wagon. And then he decided that he would flee the scene.
Oh.
And go back home and leave his friends there.
Oh.
So, cops went to his house, took him in. And here's the part I really enjoy in this article. Sources say that Mac Miller admitted to the crime and was, quote, the most polite and nice intoxicated person we've ever seen. No, he could have killed people.
Yeah.
Don't say he's nice and polite. No. One of the easiest things in the world not to do is drive drunk. It's very simple, you guys. If you drink...
Don't drive.
Don't drive.
Yeah.
I mean, how much easier can we make life for you? How's that?
It's great.
Good stuff.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
just saying. This is interesting, and why so soon? Elvis Presley's legendary 1968 comeback special is going to get a 50th anniversary celebration in early 2019. NBC is putting together a two-hour event with previously unreleased footage from the show, current interviews from some of the folks that worked on it, and then, here's my favorite part, recreations of some of the historic moments from the original broadcast by today's big stars. What does that possibly mean?
I'm afraid of that part of the special.
Yes, that's what makes me want to watch it.
Same. I'm down with the rest of it. But, I mean, if they're going to bring out Miley Cyrus singing Don't Be Cruel, we don't need that.
Yeah, I think that's what it's going to be. But
I mean,
you've already
got Elvis singing those songs. You're not going to get any better.
Right. But also, when you say recreations, they would have just said covers.
Yeah.
So I thought with recreations, I'm like, oh, my God, are they going to have, like, actors playing, like all of a sudden you've got Johnny Knoxville being Elvis walking in somewhere, that type of thing?
I can't imagine.
That would be the best.
That would be great, too.
Oh.
That was a tremendous special, though, and it'll be fun to see the new stuff they come up with for it.
Is that the white outfit one?
Yeah, he's got a white outfit and a black outfit. He's also got the leather, too. Yeah. But he, you know, he hadn't performed live for several years. And, you know, he got back in shape and went out there and just showed America all over again why he was the king.
Yeah, he did.
All right.
In that onesie. Showed us his king. Know what I'm saying? I'm going to stop. Actress Tina Fey, singer Jack Johnson, and actor Chow Yun-Fat, happy birthday to you three. And that's what's happening.
Hey, Vince.
Nope.
Hi, how are you?
No. Hold on, Vince. Hold on, Vince. We're not quite ready for you.
What are you talking about?
First, though, it's time to keep it 100.
I got to keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
I'ma keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
See, Kevin, we have the big intro we got to play
first. I'm not familiar.
Before we talk to Vince, who has an outstanding choice for Keep It 100 today, let me tell you what we came very close to hearing, and I would not have been mad at any of this. Sylvia was writing in, Kiss Them For Me by Susie and the Banshees. That's some old school K-Rock that I respect. And also, Rico from Boyle Heights, Be Quiet and Drive by Deftones. Another great song.
All right.
Great band. But as you've already spoiled, Kevin, Vince is on the line. Vince, where are you calling from, son?
I'm calling from West Hills.
All right. And you've been listening to the Keep It 100 Fridays on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Oh, yeah. I texted in a bunch of times, and I finally got through it.
Is it always for this song?
Actually, yes. I think I've tried to text that many, many, many times.
All right.
Now, what is it about? This is really, no pun intended, fascinating to me that you could at your fingertips hear this song anytime you want. What is it that makes it special to hear it on K-Rock on a Friday morning?
Well, I love The Cure. I haven't heard you guys don't play The Cure nearly as much, and I would love to hear my favorite song by The Cure on your station again.
All right. What song is that going to be for you today, Vince?
Fascination Street.
Such good a great one. Song.
I'm not going to lie. That's a great choice. Thank you so much for listening to the Kevin Bean Show, and thank you for keeping it 100.
Thank you.
Keep it 100.
All right. Thanks again to Vince from West Hills for making that suggestion. Couple of fun facts here. That song Fascination Street by The Cure appeared in an episode last season of 13 Reasons Why on Netflix. Robert Smith said recently that they are in the studio making new music.
He did say that, yeah.
And Allie McKay, this is the point in the week where I ask you to guess when that song was released. Keep it 100 selection today. Fascination Street by The Cure came out when?
1980.
I'm going to say six.
Eight.
Very close. 1989. April 18th, 1989. The Cure's Fascination Street came out from their album Disintegration. All right. Last point. Robert Smith is not a young man.
Right.
But he still
he does
dresses, does yep. his hair and uh-huh. makeup as if he were 20.
He does.
Let him live.
Is it still a good look, or should he adjust for the times?
Nope.
Here's the thing. I love Robert Smith.
Mm-hmm. I do, too.
And I love The Cure.
Yeah.
And it's not wearing well, but he should keep being Robert Smith.
Agreed.
You don't 100%. Think he wakes up one day and goes, it's been a great run, and I still am vital, and I can still make great records, and I can still sing, but I am 70, and maybe it's time to dial back on the Edward Scissorhands hair and the and the raccoon eye makeup.
Gets a crew cut.
Yeah. Just
shows up. That would be so weird.
Weird. Crew cut.
No, I'm saying if he wants to wear it, he should absolutely wear it.
Yeah, agreed.
He should do it. Yeah. All right. This has been Keep It 100. We'll do it again next Friday. Thanks. Let me tell you why I'm bad this time.
Okay.
Because I've been sitting on this 4 seconds of audio all week long and have not one time hit the button.
Royal wedding.
I mean, come on.
I mean, it's not relevant.
But royal wedding fever. We all have it, right?
We don't all have it. No.
Royal wedding.
Look, I know we sent Muggs to his bar to talk to them about the royal wedding this weekend, but were you even aware of the controversy that is ripping the world apart about how Prince Harry is going to wear his facial hair during the ceremony tomorrow?
I'm sorry, did you say ripping the world apart?
Ripping the world apart. Are you team beard or team no beard, Kevin?
I'm team let's not watch it.
Well, let's go to our old friend, Carson Daly of the Today Show.
What's he doing?
To bring us the latest.
Guys, this is an interesting conversation that's going on online that we notice here in the Orange Room. People are wondering whether Prince Harry, and I'd love to get your take on this, is going to shave his beard for the big day.
Wow.
Now, historians say that if he wants to wear his military uniform.
Yes, historians say, Kevin.
Wow.
We got some precedent, apparently. By the way, let's just stop and let that soak in for a minute. There are people who are wondering and people who are messaging online about whether a person they don't know and will never know will have a beard or not tomorrow.
We need to build a wall around those people.
When he gets married, he's going to have to shave because the military's got a ban on beards. However, for the most part, Harry has stuck to the no beard rule. You see here in 2015, this is when he was serving. However, since he's left the military, he has worn the beard, but that also got a lot of backlash for that. So if he chooses the beard, he'll be in good company. Joe Manganiello married Sofia Vergara.
Okay, so what's happening now is Carson is showing photographs of other people have gotten married who have beards.
Come on.
Because he doesn't. He thinks we don't understand the concept of a man having facial hair.
I love Carson Daly, and right now I hate him.
He's got to be put down, right?
This
right.
is the Today Show.
Yes. Yes, it is.
With a little bit of facial scrub. Check out Kevin Hart, sported the beard. You see the trend here, guys?
I do.
You see the trend, guys? Kevin Hart had a beard when he got married, so what does that mean for how Prince Harry's going to go? Right?
What's he doing?
These are some of our viewers. Hector sent this in. We grew our beards out. Some tried because the groom is known for his.
Okay, so now... Not even celebrities who have beards.
Man.
Now he's showing photographs of viewers who chose to get married with beards.
Wow.
Because Harry has a beard, right?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
And our viewer Molly said her dad really went for it. Back in 1977, he was rocking that beard. Harry's a handsome guy. Obviously, he can't go wrong. Doesn't really matter what he does, but there is a lot of speculation. A lot of eyes are going to be on his lovely face. Yeah. So let's take bets. Is he going to shave?
All right. We're not going to take bets, Carson. We're going to bail right there. So apparently,
his beard is Megan, right?
Possibly so.
All right. Our team.
We can't possibly be taking this seriously, right?
Our team coverage continues.
Royal Wedding.
And Beer Bug has joined us. Hey, Bugs.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, this Royal Wedding nonsense needs to end quick.
Agreed. I hope it's tomorrow. Muggs did go to his favorite bar for cheers.
Beer Mug, he wants to go where everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
Asking questions with no shame.
What do you?
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came.
Oh.
Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Wow. That's a good point.
That is a good point.
Now, Muggs, where's the bar you go to every week?
This is O'Grady's in Chatsworth, California, IA.
Were they aware, up to speed, ready to go to talk about the royal wedding, or did you have to kind of introduce them to the topic?
Oh, you'll find out.
This might be the most polarizing topic I've ever brought into the bar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And mostly incoherent answers, but...
Some incoherent questions as well,
yeah.
Oddly enough.
Do you have royal wedding fever?
To be honest, I didn't even know there was a wedding happening.
Nice.
It's over there in the UK.
Oh, nice.
All royalty and Big John, I got to ask you. Are you caught up in all the royal wedding fever?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, we're going to have tea and watch the wedding in Pasadena.
No, you're not. You really are?
Yeah, there's like 18, like 80-year-old ladies. I'm like the young stud in the crew.
You're f***ing with me right now, right?
No, I'm not.
Dude, you're the last person I picture going to drink tea and watch the royal wedding, John, Big John.
Well, actually, it's not tea. It's high tea.
Oh, like cannabis tea?
No, I wish it was. But
well done.
Did you see all those old broads out there getting stoned? It'd be hilarious.
Hey, Rob, I got to ask you, Rob, are you caught up in all the royal wedding fever?
I don't give a shit about the wedding fever. It's a waste of time to me on TV. I could be watching SpongeBob.
Weddings are a beautiful thing. They represent love.
Okay, so now this guy is saying it's a waste of time, and she comes in, and now she starts arguing with him.
Family, friends.
Okay, but when you put it on TV and it's like all that crap, it's not that kind of a wedding.
Right?
Broadcasting friendship, family, relationship.
No, you're broadcasting stupid.
You're advertising it.
You're advertising it.
Monsi, are you going to be watching the royal wedding this weekend?
I will definitely be watching the royal wedding, and I wish that those two beautiful young royal. I'm a royalist, and I love you.
You know that song, Monty? By Lorde, it's called "And We'll Never Be," or it's called "Royals," but it goes like this: "And we'll never be royals,
and we'll never be royals." Hey, but I want to say one thing: I will watch it. I will wish them the best. But I gotta say, they better figure it out. We're allies, man. We're allies, man. What? Europe. Come on, do it, make it happen, I love you.
USA!
USA! USA!
Dilly dilly!
Dilly dilly!
No. That happened.
Are we at war with England or something?
I have no idea.
Make it happen.
Monty took a turn, I don't know what happened.
There does seem to be some excitement for the royal wedding, though.
Some.
Which is awesome. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, it's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Allie, where's your cute little friend with all the dogs?
Cat
Corbett?
Yeah.
She is sick today. She won't be joining us.
This is our English Bulldog time when she comes in with V.
I know. I'm sorry.
She gets so upset when I call V fat. So good.
Because V is not fat.
I know.
And V has lost some weight.
I know, yeah. But it's funny how mad she gets.
She does.
That's the reason I do it.
But we press on with our final look at what's happening for the week. It's Friday morning. What's going on, Allie?
Listen. Thank you, Kat. I warned you guys.
You warned us.
I said, listen, I'm going to post this trailer.
You did give a warning.
And it is not safe for work. I believe I said it's very mm-hmm. not safe for work.
You said all of those things.
If you are just joining us, we're talking about a movie that I have been talking about. Some say too much.
I'd say that.
Yeah, I've been talking about it for over a year when I first found out about it. It is called The Happy Time Murders. It's puppets. It's murders. It's Melissa McCarthy. And these puppets are... they are dirty as hell, is what I'm saying. Can I just share with you some of the tweets I have received?
Please.
Oh, my God. What did you just show us? About 14. Holy hell. Good Lord, I'm laughing, but my childhood is being crushed.
Sure.
But one, this person gets me. I'm camping out now for the opening.
Same.
I understand. Yeah, if you haven't heard about this movie... again, not safe for work. It's the Red Band trailer, which those tend to be a little dirtier anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It is called The Happy Time Murders. It is, oh my God.
It's awesome.
And
puppets are in it, so your kids will love it.
Nope.
Make sure.
No, not for kids.
Puppets are in it, yes.
Oh, all up in it.
Not for kids.
What those puppets are. And by the way, it comes out, I believe, mid-August, so you're going to hear me
it's
talk
too
about
far
this.
Away. Can they move it closer?
Well, okay. I mean, if they need me to come and watch it and give notes.
I'm sure they probably don't need that.
Probably not. As we all know, Deadpool 2, out now. It's going to be the movie that pushes Avengers Infinity War out of that first place spot that they've held for the past 3 weekends. Expected to make as much as $150 million. And because of that, this would make it the 9th weekend out of 20 so far. Then a Marvel comic movie has been the number one film at the weekend box office.
By the way, I wanted to just mention this. All of the Marvel movies aren't necessarily good just because they're Marvel,
right.
Marvel movies. Every single one of them has to, from beginning to end, be made well. And it's amazing the track record they
have. Yeah, really good track record. Well, we now know how much Deadpool 2 made last night.
Okay.
$18.6 million in Thursday night previews. That's a record for an R-rated picture. Before, the record was $13.5 million.
Wow.
Would you guess who that movie was for a Thursday night opening making $13.5 million?
The Last Deadpool?
Nope.
Oh.
Think horror.
Horror.
Think clown.
Oh,
think
it.
Yes. It. I mean... 18.6 million. That's on like 3,700 screens. That's nuts.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Good Lord, Deadpool. I like it. And Arrow star Stephen Amell let the news drop yesterday. Batwoman will be showing up on the upcoming season of Arrow. He told the crowd of reporters at the CW Network's press event that there's going to be a big crossover event featuring Green Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl, and The Legends of Tomorrow.
I don't even know. What that is.
Okay, well, they've done it before, big crossovers with all those shows. The big news, though, is that Batwoman's showing up. That's pretty big.
They do it pretty well, too,
yeah.
Those crossovers.
How about the musical one?
Didn't watch it.
Okay. Supergirl will also kick off the CW's new Sunday night programming in the fall, along with the network's new Charmed reboot. That will come on directly after that. And in case you were wondering what Jordan Peele is doing with his time... he's busy. He's real busy.
Is he, would you say, polishing his Oscar?
I don't like where this just went.
Because he's so...
I'm not a fan.
...in awe of the honor.
Nope.
No.
No.
No, sir.
It seems like that would be paralyzing. It would be tough to move on once
right.
you've accomplished that.
Right. He has no time to even think about that Oscar because he's the executive producer of an upcoming documentary series about Lorena Bobbitt. He's doing the reboot of Twilight Zone for CBS All Access. Then he's doing Lovecraft Country for HBO. And then, we just found out yesterday, he has signed up with Amazon to executive produce a series called The Hunt. It's going to follow a band of Nazi hunters living in New York City in 1977. They discover that there are hundreds of high-ranking Nazi officials living amongst us, conspiring to create a Fourth Reich in the U.S.
I like it. That sounds cool.
I mean, those are four completely
yes.
different things.
Good for
him. He's amazing. He is absolutely amazing. And in case you were wondering, oh, what's Gillian Anderson going to do now that she says she's not coming back to X-Files? Well, she is going to star in Netflix's upcoming dramedy, Sex Education. She's going to be playing an uninhibited sex therapist whose socially awkward son sets up an underground sex therapy clinic at his high school. Giggity, right?
I'm okay with her leaving the X-Files.
Are you?
Yes, now.
Well, now you are, sure. Because, what? Hmm? Ew, wait.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Should we Okay.
Yes, we
Let's wrap this up.
Oh, that's right.
So, birthdays for you. Chow Yun-Fat, Jack Johnson, and Tina Fey. Happy birthday. That's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with Strikers commercial free-for-all during your drive home today, starting at 5 p.m. here on the world-famous K-Rock. Have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday.
Oh.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Get that Coleman unhooked.
Right?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What is happening here?
Roll another one.
Anybody got any questions?
Just like the other one.
He's nuts, bitch.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I demand an investigation.
And I need another hit.
Dong. 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 Dong.
Funny that you say that, Allie, because that was not the case.
Roll another one.
My issue is that we wake up to this monstrosity.
Just like the other one.
I feel like I'm Batman.
Nope.
This one seems to be about Batman.
Does anybody have any Imodium? It's an emergency.
I don't have another cent.
If they were a mood ring, they'd just be going off like a pinball machine.
Vive la France.
Just pass it around.
All right, this is not a productive conversation.
And the bogart that joined, my friend.
That needle was the size of my wiener.
And just pass it on down.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you're an amazing audience. You deserve an amazing closer.
When will this insanity stop? When will enough people say, stop this madness? We don't have to live like this.
Whoop-dee-doo-scoop. Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-scoop-dee-poop.
That's all you got? Totally lame.
This is something nobody can even understand. This is a level of evil that we haven't seen. But we're going to end it. It's time. It's time right now to end it.